ವಿದೂರ ಇವಾಭ್ಯೇತ್ಯ ಶಿರಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ದುರಾತ್ಮನಃ ಧಾರ ಮುಷ್ಟಿ ನೈವಾಂಗ ಸಹ ಚೂಡಾಮಣಿಂ ವಿಭು ಅವಿದೂರ ಇವಾಭ್ಯೇತ್ಯ ಶಿರಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ದುರಾತ್ಮನಃ ಜಹಾರ ಮುಷ್ಟಿ ನೈವಾಂಗ ಮಾತಾಜಿ ಅವಿದೂರ ಇವಾಭ್ಯೇತ್ಯ ಶಿರಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ದುರಾತ್ಮನಃ ಜಹಾರ ಮುಷ್ಟಿ ನೈವಾಂಗ ಸಹ ಚೂಡಾಮಣಿಂ ವಿಭು ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅವಿದೂರೆ ನಿಯರ್ ಬೈ ಇವ ಆಸ್ ಇಫ್ ಅಭ್ಯೇತ್ಯ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ ಶಿರಃ ದ ಹೆಡ್ ತಸ್ಯ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಮ್ ದುರಾತ್ಮನಃ ದ ವಿಕೆಡ್ ಒನ್ ಜಹಾರ ಟುಕವೆ ಮುಷ್ಟಿನ ವಿತ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಫಿಸ್ಟ್ ಏವ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ಅಂಗ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಸಹ ಟುಗದರ್ ವಿತ್ ಚೂಡಾಮಣಿಂ ದ ಜ್ವೆಲ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಹೆಡ್ ವಿಭು the almighty lord. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the mighty lord overtook Shankachuda from a great distance as if from nearby, my dear king, and then with his fist the lord removed the wicked demon's head together with his crest jewel. Because there is no purport, I will read the next verse. Having thus killed the demon Shankachuda and taken away his shining jewel, Lord Krishna gave it to his elder brother with great satisfaction as the gopis watched. Purport. Various gopis perhaps thought that Govinda would give one of them the valuable jewel. To prevent rivalry among them, Sri Krishna happily gave the jewel to his older brother Balaram. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 34th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So today we are reading this concluding verses of this particular chapter. Nanda Maharaj saved and Shankachuda slain. So in these verses, basically, this pastime is being narrated in which Lord Krishna, once he was having his performing his pastimes with his with the gopis in Vrindavan. So at that time, one of the servant of Kuvera, who is the treasurer of the demigods, this person is called as Shankachuda. He came to that place where Krishna was performing his dance with the gopis, and he could not tolerate how Krishna, he could not tolerate the fact that Krishna is enjoying these beautiful ladies, and he wanted to, he himself wanted to enjoy the gopis. So he started chasing the gopis away from that particular place. So when he started chasing, so Krishna and Balaram, they started chasing Shankachuda. And then Shankachuda, he actually became afraid, and then he left the gopis, and then he started running away. So that time Krishna told Balaramji that you please take care of Shankachuda, you please take care of the gopis, and I will go and actually take care of Shankachuda. And then Krishna gave the gopis under the care of Balaramji, and then he actually chased after Shankachuda, and he actually killed Shankachuda. And after killing Shankachuda, Krishna actually brought the head, jewel, which was on the top of Shankachuda's head. And then Krishna handed over the jewel to Balaramji. So in this verse it is explained that Balaramji, all the gopis, they were expecting that maybe Krishna would give the jewel to them. But Krishna, in order to avoid rivalry among the gopis, he handed over the jewels to Balaramji, and which was later handed over by Balaramji to Srimati Radharani. So in today's, so when we actually read these pastimes of Krishna, so many times, like we think these are some stories of the bygone ages, they may not have actually much relevance for us. But actually, the scriptures are very much relevant. Like for example, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. He says that, do not think that I am giving this knowledge to you, Arjuna, for the first time. Actually, I gave this knowledge to the sun god Vivasvan. And the sun god, he in turn imparted this knowledge to his son. And he gave this knowledge to his son Ikshvaku Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that like Ikshvaku Maharaj, he was present in the Treta Yuga. which comes like, this is Kali Yuga before that Dwapar Yuga and then before that Treta Yuga. So at least the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is 20 lakh years old. But actually, knowledge of Gita, it is not that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita for the first time to Vivaswan. Because this knowledge of Gita is actually eternal. Imam Vyasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. Avyayam means, this knowledge is eternal. So knowledge of Gita is something which you cannot give a date to it. Like usually, when you publish a book, it's mentioned the first printing in this particular year. Or when they give a software, the first, it was released in a particular year, version 1, version 2. So in the case of the knowledge of Gita, it is actually beyond being dated. Although Krishna mentions he imparted this knowledge previously to Sun God, but this knowledge is imperishable, it was actually existing even before. Sun God illuminates the whole world, but Bhagavad Gita illuminates Sun God. So, knowledge of Gita is beyond being dated, and it is not just beyond being dated, it is also beyond becoming outdated. Like in the sense that, like if you see some certain software which are released, it is released at a particular time, and then after some time, it is like outdated. Say Windows 1 or Windows 2, or like it's like completely outdated now. But the knowledge of Gita is, it is actually beyond being outdated. That means, it is as relevant as it was in the bygone ages as it is relevant today. It is also relevant today. And, especially those people who come in the disciple succession, they can actually present in a way which can be relevant to the people. So when we do not come in contact with them, then we think, oh, it is not, maybe it is a, imperishable, but it is not relevant today. So knowledge of Gita is beyond being outdated and beyond being dated and beyond becoming outdated. So there is a two-sided infinity. So you cannot say when it was first given, and it won't become irrelevant after some time. Like if you see a series of odd numbers, so it starts with a finite one. And then there is, on the other side there is infinity. But the knowledge of Gita is actually infinite in both sides. So similarly, just like knowledge given by Krishna, even the pastimes of Krishna, they are also eternal. And the lessons which are there in the pastimes, and they are also applicable in all times, and all places and all circumstances. They are relevant at all times. So, we will see this particular pastime, we will try to concentrate on one particular lesson. And so here we see Shankachuda, he is actually, it seems like it may appear, the pastime may appear like any, some particular scene in a Bollywood movie, like some hero is enjoying with the heroine and then suddenly villain comes and then kidnaps the heroine. Then hero goes after the villain and then he actually kills the villain. So it appears like a normal story, but then the lesson is that Shankachuda, he is trying to enjoy the property of God in the presence of God. So Krishna, like many people, sometimes people may try to enjoy the property of some person in the absence of the person. But here Shankachuda, he was so intoxicated with his opulence that he was trying to enjoy the property of God, the energy of God in the presence of God. He kidnapped the gopis and he tried to enjoy the gopis. So, if we see this particular pastime, so we may think, oh, Shankachuda is such a demon that he tried to enjoy the property of God in the presence of God. But actually, if we see, even in our case also, we may also try to enjoy the property of God in the presence of God. So, in our case, Krishna is actually present as a super soul in everyone's heart. So, although Krishna is present as a super soul, And in the presence of the super soul, we may try to enjoy the property of God. So, like I was reading a beautiful article. So the devotee was writing, like in this world, usually we think of a person who is actually close to us. And somebody can be close to us, either physically or emotionally. Somebody who is like maybe staying in the same room, or somebody who is sitting next to us, we naturally think of the person who is actually close to us physically. Or sometimes we may think of a person spontaneously who may not be close to us physically, but who may be close to us emotionally. If, for example, a mother, she may think of her son who may be studying abroad. The son may be studying in a different country, but then because of the emotional connection, so she may constantly be thinking about the son. So similarly, if we see this point, Krishna says in the Gita, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anor Aniyamsam Anusmaredya Sarvasya Dataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaparastat. So Krishna says that I am situated as a super soul. As a super soul, I am smaller than the smallest. So different characteristics the Supreme Lord has described. He is actually Kavim. He is the original poet. And he is actually the Anushasitaram. He is the controller. And he is smaller than the smallest. Anor Aniyamsam. So Krishna is actually closest to us physically because he is situated as a super soul in everyone's heart. The closest person to us physically is actually Krishna. And even emotionally also, Krishna is actually closest to us. Because the same verse describes, Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. Tamasa Parastat means, actually Krishna is actually, the Supreme Lord is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. His original home is in the spiritual world. But although he is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, in order to make himself available to every living entity, he actually appears as a super soul in every person's heart. He is situated in every, even in every atom and in the space between the atom. So when we understand this particular quality of the Lord, although he is transcendental, but he actually appears as a super soul. So we can understand how much the Supreme Lord loves a living entity. So when you understand that somebody loves us so dearly, then even though he may be situated far away, he is situated in the spiritual world, but one will constantly, spontaneously think of him. Because when you understand that he actually loves us so much. So when you have that emotional connection, we can constantly think of him. So in this way, Krishna is actually close to us physically, and also he is the closest to a living entity, both physically and also emotionally. So that is why, in one particular verse, in the Bhagavatam, it's explained, Santam Samipe Ramanam Ratipradam. So one devotee, Pingala, she says that the Krishna is nearest and dearest to a living entity. Nearest and dearest to a living entity. So Shankachuda tried to enjoy the property of God in the presence of Krishna. So we may try to enjoy the property of God, although Krishna is present as a super soul. So in that case, we may also be acting as Shankachuda. And another feature by which Krishna is present in this world is that he is present in his feature of time. So this is a beautiful, he is present in the feature of time. So how do we perceive time? So time actually acts in this world the way it destroys different living entities. So there is a beautiful verse in the 11th canto, in which Krishna says that even if people, they know how to achieve happiness and how to avoid distress, And they do not know the process by which death will not be able to exert its power over them. You know, somebody knows how can they attain happiness, some material happiness, and how to avoid distress. But they do not know how to avoid death, how to overcome death. And then Krishna speaks a beautiful verse. He says, Konvarta sukayatyesham kamo va mrityurantike. He says that death is actually not at all pleasing. And every person in this world is like a condemned man who is actually being led to the place of execution. So when a person is being led to the place of execution, and before that, if he is offered a sumptuous meal, will he be able to enjoy that meal? I suppose we are told, like as soon as the Bhagavatam class gets over, when you go out of the temple hall, you'll be given a glass of sweet rice. And once you drink the sweet rice, then you'll be beaten thoroughly. So then, if it's told like that, so will you be able to enjoy like the sweet rice? Or, we may enjoy like when the Bhagavatam class gets over, but one will not be able to enjoy the end of the Bhagavatam class, one will not be able to enjoy the sweet rice. Because that will be like a reminder for a person, now I am going to get a beating. So similarly, if a person actually contemplates that death is going to come, then any person who is actually sane, he cannot actually enjoy the pleasures of this world. Because he knows that it is just going to be taken away at any point of time. So Hridayananda Maharaj writes in the purport, like it is a custom that in this world, when a person is going to be executed, before that he will be offered a sumptuous meal. But the person who is going to be executed, he will not be able to enjoy the sumptuous meal, because that is a chilling reminder for the person that just after the meal, what is going to come is actually death. So he says, similarly, unless a person is actually more or less crazy, one cannot be enthusiastic or even peaceful in material life. Because if a person thinks about the knowledge of the inevitability of the death, it can never encourage a person to enjoy the temporary pleasures of the world, unless the person is actually crazy. So knowledge of the inevitability of the death should encourage one to become determined in spiritual life. So we see, in that way, for Shankachuda, Krishna was personally present. But for us, Krishna is present in the form of death, in the form of time factor. But although we are seeing people are dying, but still when we try to enjoy the property of God, so we are also acting like a mini Shankachuda. So if we see talking about this factor of time. So if you see the fact, Krishna says in the Gita that I am actually time, by which actually I bring about the destruction of different things in this world. So if you see time actually makes the unpalatable unavoidable. So what is unpalatable? Old age, disease and death. It is actually unpalatable. Nobody wants to grow old, nobody wants to get disease and nobody wants to die. So time makes the unpalatable unavoidable. Although it is unpalatable, but nobody can avoid it. Time makes it unavoidable. But when a person concentrates his attention on the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, when a person remembers the activities of the Supreme Lord, when a person remembers the remembers Krishna, and Krishna will make the unavoidable palatable. So old age, disease and death, they are actually unavoidable. But for a person who is actually absorbed in the sweet remembrance of Krishna, and what is unavoidable becomes palatable. He is not worried about he's not frightened about old age or disease or death. For a person who does not remember Krishna, the ticking of a clock, that actually reminds him of the death. But for a person who is actually absorbed in the remembrance of God, when he is actually coming close to death, he is actually relishing, because he feels that Krishna will take me to perform some other service in his abode. So time makes unpalatable unavoidable, but Krishna makes the unavoidable palatable. So I was again reading a beautiful article. So like normally if we see this word time management, so people there is a, like this if you, especially like this seminars on time management are actually they're like very famous, especially when people in corporate world or in the student world are like people talk about time management. So time management is a very trendy word. But usually when people talk about time management, they focus more on the second word, management, and not on time. So they focus more on how to manage time. But actually if you see, so why they focus on the second word? Because they see time as a utilitarian worth. So people see time is actually, they see time in terms of money. Like in any software company or something, like when a company takes up a project and then they give a quotation, they say, for this project, so many man hours were spent by so many employees, so this much is the charge for the project. So they actually, they give a charge in terms of so many hours spent by different employees. So people see time for its utilitarian worth. So because of that, they concentrate more on the word management. But when a devotee or a saintly person, when he actually looks at time, he does not see time for its utilitarian worth, but for its intrinsic worth. So, yeah, saintly person, he sees time is actually more precious than money. He does not see time for its utilitarian worth, but he sees time for its intrinsic worth. So how does he see that? So he sees time is actually non-different from God. As Krishna says in the Gita, I am time, which causes about destruction of everything in this world. So a saintly person, he sees time for its intrinsic worth. So when he thinks about time management, so that means when a saintly person says managing time means managing Krishna, because he knows time is actually non-different from Krishna. And managing Krishna means, what does it mean to manage Krishna? Actually, Krishna is the supreme manager. So managing Krishna means allowing our lives to be managed by Krishna. So when a saintly person looks at the word time management, he sees that leading our life in such a way that we actually execute the will of God, because he actually represents time. So that is the outlook of a sage towards time management. So if we see this, coming to the point, like Shankachuda, Krishna was present personally. But for us, Krishna is present in the form of death or time. So although we see Krishna in the form of death, but still we are trying to enjoy the property of God. We are trying to enjoy the insignificant pleasures of this world. So, yeah, in one sense, we may be actually pitying upon Shankachuda. But actually, we ourselves may be pitiable. So there is a beautiful verse in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Vidura is telling to Maitreya Rishi, Tam shochya shochyan avidonu shoche hare katayam vimukan agena. So he says, O sage, persons who because of their sinful activities are averse to the topics of transcendence and thus ignorant of the purpose of the Mahabharata are pitied by the pitiable. Tam shochya shochyan. So there are three classes of people. One class of people is they are trying to enjoy the temporary pleasures of this world. And the second class, they are called as karmis. So they are actually attached to living in this world. They are trying to enjoy the pleasures of this world, which are temporary. And the second class of people are the jnanis, and they are averse to the pleasures of this world because they understand that the pleasures of this world are temporary. But they do not have, and they may take to the process of devotional service. They may take to the process of bhakti yoga, but they see bhakti yoga as a means to attain the end of liberation, freedom from the miseries. But the third class of transcendentalists, third class of people, are the pure devotees of the Lord. So they do not see the process of bhakti yoga as a means to attain relief from the miseries. They see the process of bhakti yoga not only as a means but also the end. So they see that this is actually we are eternal servant of God. So the impersonalists, the jnanis, they may take pity upon the karmis who are trying to enjoy the temporary pleasures of this world. But the impersonalists, they are not aware that they themselves are also pitiable. So the devotees, they take pity on both people. They take pity on the jnanis, the pitiable, who are pitying the karmis. So in this way, we may be taking pity on Shankachuda. Oh, he is actually trying to enjoy the property of God in the presence of God. But actually we ourselves may be pitiable. If we do not recognize that we are also actually Shankachuda. So if you see this, there are actually the another classification. So in this particular pastime, Krishna is present, the gopis are present, and the Shankachuda is present. So there are three, we can say three classes of people. So one class of people, they try to enjoy the property of God in the presence of God, not recognizing the proprietorship of God over his property. So that is represented by Shankachuda. He tried to enjoy gopis in the presence of Krishna. And the second class of people, they may try to serve God in the presence of God, but they may try to enjoy the property of God in the absence of God. So this actually refers to the, say, Kanishta devotees, who may actually try to serve God in the presence of God, but in the absence of God, they may actually try to enjoy the property of God. But the third class of people is the Madhyama devotees, the higher class devotees. They not only try to serve God in the presence of God, but they also try to serve God in the absence of God. So Shankachuda represents the first category of person who try to enjoy the property of God in the presence of God. And the gopis, they not only were serving Krishna in the presence of Krishna, but even in the absence of God, they were always thinking about God. They are always thinking about Krishna. So that is the next chapter. The next chapter is Yugala Geeta, in which the gopis, how they were feeling, in feeling separation from Krishna, they were singing beautiful songs, remembering the flute sound of Krishna, how it is having on different people. So they not only are trying to serve Krishna in the presence of Krishna, but even in the absence of God, they were trying to remember God. So we may come under the category of, maybe in the second category, that in the presence of God or in the presence of a great soul, we may try to serve him. but in the absence of him, we may actually we may forget. So talking about this point, so if we see this, we will take up one verse, how the gopis, how in the absence of Krishna, they were actually trying to, they were remembering Krishna. So there is a beautiful verse which comes in the 10th canto, that when the gopis, when they were, actually in the 10th canto, the gopis, they have sung five different songs in the 10th canto. One is Venu Geet in the 21st chapter, and then Gopi Geet in the 31st chapter, and then Yugala Geet, and then Viraha Geet, and Brahmar Geet. So in the Gopi Geet, when they were feeling separation from Krishna, they speak a beautiful verse in which they express their appreciation of Krishna Katha. So they say, Tava Kathamritam Tapta Jeevanam Kavibi Reeditam Kalma Shapaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvi Grinantiye Bhuri Dajana. So gopis are saying, they are actually talking about the, what is the nature of topics about Krishna. He says, Tava Kathamritam, the topics of Krishna, they are nectar for those people who are suffering the miseries of this material world. Tava Katha Amritam. They are actually the nectar of your words and descriptions. They are life and soul of those suffering in the material world. Tava Katha Amritam and Tapta Jeevanam. Tapta Jeevanam, they give relief from suffering. And Kavibi Reeditam. And these topics of you, they are propagated by great kavis, by great poets. And Kalma Shapaham. And they completely eradicate one's sinful reactions. They completely eradicate one's sinful reactions. And Shravana Mangalam. And they bestow all auspiciousness upon people. And Srimadatatam. Srimadatatam means, it bestows the highest wealth. And Bhuvi Grinantiye Bhuri Dajana. And those people who propagate these topics of you to others by traveling to different places, they are the most munificent. So we will try to understand this particular verse. So, Tava Katha Amritam. So first thing they say is that the topics about you, they are actually nectar. So there are different kinds of nectar available. So one kind of nectar, of course, in the material world, we have our conception of nectar is maybe different things. For somebody in a different mode, somebody maybe in the tamogun, for him nectar maybe is maybe some alcohol, somebody in the mode of passion, nectar may be something else. So for different people in different mode, nectar is something else. But there are two kinds of nectar which is being talked about, the nectar available in the heavenly planets and the nectar of liberation. So we may not have perception of the nectar available in the heavenly planets, but it is actually like millions of times superior to the nectar available in the pleasure available in this world. So here they are saying Tava Katha Amrita means the nectar of Krishna Katha is actually superior to the nectar of heavenly planets and nectar of the liberation. Nectar of liberation. So they say, the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he writes in the purport that in this world, so people undergo so many miseries, birth, old age, disease, and then miseries from other living entities, etc. But the topics of Krishna, they actually give life to those people who are tormented by these miseries. They give life to people who are tormented by these miseries. And topic of Krishna is actually superior even to the nectar of liberation. So some people, they may not aspire for the nectar of heavenly planets, but they just want to get rid of all the miseries. Like for a person who is like a constipated, like for him, if he just gets pressure to relieve himself of the stomach. So that is like his ultimate happiness. So similarly, some people may think, oh, relief of the miseries, that is like nectar for them. But Krishna Katha is superior to relief from the miseries and superior to even the nectar of heavenly planets. And Tavakatamritam Tapta Jeevanam Kavibi Riditam Kalma Shapakam. Kalma Shapakam means it completely eradicates all the sinful tendencies, sinful reactions. So when a person commits a sinful activity, there are different stages by which the sinful reactions manifest. One is the gross suffering which a person will undergo because of the sinful activity. And then, or in a subtle level, it may be a sinful desire. Because for every sinful activity, we get a gross reaction, and that sinful and the subtle reaction is the proclivity to do that activity increases more. That comes in the form of a sinful desire or a sinful proclivity. So there is technically called as prarabdha, kuta, bija and aprarabdha. So aprarabdha is the unmanifest karma. That means like the reaction is in an unmanifest stage. And when it becomes little more manifest, it becomes a sinful proclivity. That means a person has a dishonest tendency. And when it becomes little more manifest, it comes in the form of a particular sinful desire, bijam. And it becomes even more manifest, it comes in the form of a gross suffering, that is called as prarabdha. So kalma shapakam means, Krishna katha, when a person hears about Krishna, it completely eradicates all the four stages of sin. Like we may follow different processes, but we may again fall into the sinful tendency. That means, those processes, they do not completely eradicate the sinful proclivity. But the topic of Krishna completely eradicate not only the gross sinful reaction, even the sinful desire, sinful proclivity, even the aprarabdha karma. But whereas the nectar of heavenly planets, that actually increases the sinful desire. Because in the heavenly planets so much of pleasure is available, a person becomes, drinking what is called a somaras, which is the nectar in the heavenly planets, a person develops more desire to enjoy. It actually increases the propensity to enjoy. And the nectar of liberation, it only destroys the aprarabdha, kutam and bijam. Unmanifest karma, sinful proclivity and the sinful desire. But it does not destroy the prarabdha karma. But the topic of Krishna, it destroys all the four stages of sin. That is kalma shapaham. And the next characteristic is shravana mangalam. The topic of Krishna is actually all auspicious. It is most auspicious. Because just by, in the case of the nectar of heavenly planets, you have to drink that nectar. When you drink that nectar, then you get the benefit. But in the case of the topic of Krishna, simply by hearing about it, in fact, that hearing is the way of drinking it. So simply by hearing about it, one becomes attracted to you and attains the ultimate goal of life. So that is the nature of Krishna Katha, Shravana Mangalam. And the next characteristic of Krishna Katha is Srimad Atatam. Srimad Atatam means the topics of Krishna, they actually bestow the topmost wealth up to prema. So the topmost wealth is actually love for the Supreme Lord. So in the Gita, Krishna says, people have different conceptions of wealth. But if we see, topmost wealth is that wealth, having obtained that wealth, you no longer hanker after something or you no longer lament after something. So in this world, if we see, at present, our conception of wealth may be achieving certain amount of millions of dollars or having a particular position or something. But if we carefully see, even those people who have attained that position, they are lamenting over something or they are hankering over something else. That means that is not the highest wealth. But when a person achieves this particular wealth, that is love for the Supreme Lord, then one no longer hankers after something and one no longer laments over something. And this particular wealth is actually bestowed by hearing about Krishna. So that is the meaning of the word Srimad Atatam. And then the gopis are saying, Bhuvi Grinanti Ye Bhuri Dajana. That means, they say that those people who glorify you in Kirtan are bestowing the greatest treasure. Those actually who propagate Krishna Katha by traveling, they are bestowing the greatest treasure. And one may give that person who is bestowing that greatest treasure of Krishna Katha everything he wants, but still one can never repay that particular person. A representative of the Lord who is actually giving the topics of Krishna, who is bestowing the highest wealth, we can actually never repay that particular person. Bhuvi grinantiye bhuri dajana. So, in this way the gopis are glorifying. But, so in the Srila Vishnu Chakotagru is commenting on this verse, he is giving another explanation of this verse. It is called as, like in Sanskrit, it is called as Vyajastuti. Vyajastuti means, you want to glorify something, but instead of glorifying that person, you actually criticize. In the form of a criticism, you glorify that person. So when you, in the form of criticism, when you glorify, the glorification becomes even more sweet. In the normal world, we are actually used to speaking straight. But actually, if we see in the Vedic culture, sometimes when Krishna indirectly chastises Arjuna, but when he indirectly chastises, that indirect chastisement, it is actually felt more deeply than the direct chastisement. So similarly, when a person indirectly glorifies by criticizing that person, that glorification becomes even more sweet than the direct glorification. So this is called as Vyajastuti. That means you appear to criticize that person, but you are actually trying to glorify. This is like the beauty of the Sanskrit language. So Vishnu Chakotak gives the explanation for the same verse. He says, Tava Katha Amritam. So this word can be split in two ways. One is Tava Katha Amritam. That means topics of you are like nectar. But it can be slipped in another way. Tava Katha Mritam. That means, when people hear about topics of you, it will actually cause death of the particular person. It will cause death of the person. So in that way, it will create undesirable consequences. In that sense, he becomes so much attracted towards the Lord, his material life is finished. He doesn't have the propensity to enjoy the pleasures of this world. In that way, it actually causes the death of a person. And the gopis are saying, Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam. So the word jivanam means water. And tapta means hot oil. So when you put water on a hot oil, then what happens? Then immediately there will be a sound, it will start sparkling or something. What the gopis are trying to say is that descriptions of your pastimes, by those descriptions, we become scalded like water sprinkled on hot oil. By hearing your topics, we become more agitated. The sense we become more excited. So it causes so much of suffering to us. Just like when you put water in a hot oil. And then Krishna asked the gopis, you are actually criticizing my topics of you. But then so many sages, they are actually writing my topics in different, so many Puranas. They are glorifying my topics. Why are you criticizing about my topics, my pastimes? So the gopis are saying, Kavi bhi reeditam. That means, it is actually the nature of the poets. It's a natural habit of the poet that they try to actually write something pleasing. Actually, there is nothing good about your topics. That only poets like Vyasa praise you and no one else, because it is a natural habit of the poets. So here, actual fact is, when we hear about you, a person suffers from the pain of separation from you. So therefore it is no use. And then they say, Kavibi Riditam Kalma Shapaham. Kalma Shapaham means that they're saying, when a person hears about you, one burns up the previous sins. So in that way, it is auspicious for the ordinary people. Shravana Mangalam, Kalma Shapakam means, it burns up his previous sins, and Shravana Mangalam, it is only auspicious for the ordinary people. But ordinary people only, they continue to hear your topics. But those who are actually intelligent, they will hear that topic, hearing topics about you, it causes death. And intelligent people, they do not hear about you. So it is only auspicious for the ordinary people, not auspicious for the intelligent people. So it is like an indirect glorification. And then they say, Srimad Atatam. Srimad Atatam means, so Vishnu Chakotaku says, that topics about you are disseminated by evil men, who are blinded by the intoxication of their wealth. Those people who are blinded by the intoxication of their wealth, such evil men, in order to bring about the death of all other men, and they go from one country to another country, one place to another place, and they spend lavishly, and they hold Bhagavad Sapta, in order to commit a mass genocide. In order to actually assassinate people in a mass way, and they travel from one place to another place in order to commit a mass genocide, they actually cause the death of people. So in this way, so therefore, those who are actually intelligent people, they avoid your topics. And they keep these Krishna Katha at a far distance than even a contagious disease. So this is like an indirect glorification of Krishna Katha. So this is called as Vyaja Stuti. Of course, I'm just telling this to just so that you can just appreciate, like when it is indirectly glorified, then the glorification becomes even more sweet. It's not, one should not take literally. It actually causes the death of the material life, and a person's spiritual life begins when a person hears about Krishna. So which is actually very sweet and this thing. So I will conclude with this pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this conversation between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. So they were sitting together and taking prasadam. So Advaita Acharya, he tells Nityananda Prabhu, I do not know with whom I am taking prasadam. He says, Nityananda Prabhu is like an avadut. He says, like, I do not know what is your previous background, and I do not know where you are coming from. I don't know what kind of person you are. So my mind may get contaminated by sitting along with you and taking prasadam. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, and he actually does not get affected by taking prasadam with anybody. But my mind may get affected by sitting with you. So in this way, he is actually, one is criticizing Nityananda Prabhu. You are an avadhut, I don't know what is your background. And Nityananda Prabhu, he says, oh, you are Advaita, you are a monist. You are you are Advaita. Advaita means you are attached to the impersonal conception of the Supreme Lord. By taking prasadam along with you, maybe I will also become a monist. My mind will also get contaminated. So, I don't know. I'm just worried that my mind might get contaminated by sitting, taking prasadam with you. So then, at that time, so Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says, Yehi mata dui jane kare bola boli, vyaja stuti kare duhe yena gala gali. So in the Advaita Acharya is apparently criticizing Nityananda Prabhu, but actually in his heart he is actually glorifying Nityananda Prabhu. But Nityananda Prabhu is apparently criticizing Advaita Acharya by calling him as a monist, but in his heart he is actually glorifying Advaita Acharya. So in this way, both the lords went on talking and praising one another. Although their praise appeared negative, it appeared as if they exchanged ill names. But in the, I remember in the mod, like when I was staying in the hostel, like sometimes when somebody's So birthday party is there. Birthday is there. Like in the hostel, like 4 students will come and they will actually lift the person whose birthday is there. 2 students will lift the hand and another 2 students will lift their leg. And then they will start beating on their back. And they will say this is their birthday treat to them. They call it some name, I forget. And they actually feel that they are actually giving treat to that particular person on their birthday. And the person who is having that birthday, he feels that, oh, these people are showing their affection towards me. This is like the perverted reflection of Vyaja Stuti in this world. But here, Advaita Acharya Nityananda Prabhu, they appear to be criticizing each other, but they are actually trying to glorify. So, gopis appear, apparently they're talking about how the Krishna Katha is actually dangerous, but actually they are glorifying about the topics of Krishna. So, this I will end this class. Sorry if I have spoken anything. Sorry, comments, Radha Gopinath. If anybody has any questions.
I just thought I'll share what I had heard about Shankachuda, that this is one comment, that's all. Some lessons you said, eternal lessons. So this person was giving a katha on Shankachuda. He said,